Well, I've certainly enjoyed the service up to this point, and it's a joy to be with you again. You folks have made a big impact in our life over the years, and we're grateful for that. My wife would say the same thing if she had opportunity tonight and would be here to do so. I want to mention, where is Brother Adam? Where did he go? Brother, would you mind stand up just a minute and take that coat off? I've got a reason for this. This is the way I first met him tonight. And the next thing I saw that coat on, and I got to admit, it said greeter, but I was on the other side of the room. I didn't want to get too close. Thank you, brother. You look very normal like that. Thank you. Now he's embarrassed and he's going to leave it off, so I don't mean to do that, but it's a joy. Let me mention something to you concerning Brother Bruce mentioned his mom and dad. I don't think it came out in what he said, but those folks right now have 24-hour around-the-clock help in the house with them. And so it's that's been on and off for about the past couple of months. But I appreciate you very much, as Bruce said, praying for them and what they're doing right now to take care of them is pretty expensive, you can imagine. And so I appreciate very much the Martins, and we stay in pretty close contact with them along the way. The offering that you took tonight for the printing ministry there at Bering Precious Seed, they're very dear friends of ours, and in fact, many years ago we were part of that ministry, but they have put the majority of the material that we have shipped to Thailand over the years have come through their ministry. And it's only been the last couple of containers that have come through the ministry that I mentioned this morning, that's shipping the one that's there. So I appreciate them and their great need. And I know that anything you invest with them will make a big difference. So we're grateful for all that. I'd like to speak to you tonight about the characteristics of the churches that participated in missionary work during the ministry of the Apostle Paul. And I'd like to just hopefully we can have some things there that'll be an encouragement to you this morning or this evening, and just consider with me. In Acts chapter 11, if you turn there, I'm not sure that Paul would consider all of the churches that he was part of establishing as being partners in the ministry, but he certainly had some that he talked about throughout the New Testament as being partners in the continued effort to start churches and the mission work that was going on in those days. In chapter 11. I want to just briefly mention this one passage as we talk about this, but the church in Antioch is who's being spoken of here. In chapter 11, verse 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. I want to speak to you first concerning the one of the earmarks of the early churches that were involved in with the Apostle Paul, were they were givers. Now, this particular type of giving that we're speaking of here, they were involved in relief work for the church in Jerusalem and those throughout Judea because of the great famine that was there. And they told the churches about it, and many of them, as did the church in Antioch, opened their purse strings and really helped with that. But I'd like to talk to you just for a few moments concerning the provision that was made by the churches to advance the work of missions through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The church in Philippi was the only church that helped in this manner, as we're speaking. Philippians chapter 4, if you would please. And I'm not going to apologize to you for having you turn and read in the Bible, but I am going to warn you about it, okay? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to the Lord. We're speaking tonight about the fact that these churches were givers. They were giving churches. They helped with relief, but they helped the Apostle Paul in his ongoing ministry. They fully realized, the church in Philippi fully realized that Paul could practice his trade of tent making, but they were desirous that nothing would hinder, that lack of funds would not hinder his work. And so they sent, the Bible says they sent once and again. And then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I pardon me while I cross off some things off this. If we did the whole study that I've done, it would take a little longer than we have tonight. But 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. And I'd like to just bring this into the mix tonight, because what I want to do is I want to try to encourage you folks. You have a rich history of many of the things that are going to be spoken of, and I just want to encourage you to continue on. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning, I believe, in verse 8. As Paul is speaking to the Corinthian churches, he says, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Now, Paul was fully aware of the fact that the Corinthians were not quite stellar examples of obedience to Christ in a lot of areas. And the Corinthian church had a lot of difficulties, a lot of problems going on in the churches. And as he looked at them and considered them and the time he had spent with them, he just said, I've robbed other churches to do you service. Verse 9, and when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to me. The brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, and in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome from you or unto you, so I will keep myself. And so he's apparently speaking of the church in Antioch that was in Macedonia as he's considering this. And he simply said, as I work with you and continue to preach to you and continue to teach you, it's like I've robbed other churches. But that's to the glory of the church in Antioch and how that they gave consistently. Paul had a proper, and let me say this, brethren, if you don't mind, there's a couple of missionaries in here tonight, and I know many others may get a hold at some point of this message, and so I don't want to refrain from saying that. I appreciate so much Paul's attitude here, as he said, working with you folks, it's not burdensome, it's not productive as I'd like it to be, but it's like I've robbed other churches, taking wages of them, taking money from them to do you service. And Paul had a proper perspective, I believe, of the sacrificial giving of the churches that supported him. God help us, missionaries. God help us to consider our supporters in each and every expenditure that we make, either of the monies that are sent to us or the efforts that we put forth toward the Lord's work. And we need to have the same kind of perspective that Paul had, and be very, very evident of that. But then there was a sacrificial spirit that was spoken of concerning giving in Galatians chapter 4. And again, among these churches that participated with Paul, Galatians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading verse 13 with your permission, and I'll make a point here, and then we'll move on. Galatians 4:13. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and given them unto me. And of course, we can conclude from that, I guess, that the physical malady which the Apostle Paul had was his eyesight was poor, and others have concluded the same thing. But look at the sacrificial spirit of these Galatians as the Apostle Paul gives testimony of them. You gave, but you were so sacrificial in your giving that you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me if the opportunity had been there. And oh, what a testimony of that church, and how that, and he says this. He says, I bear you record. I mean, it's written down, you know. He was serious about it. I believe that you would have done that. That's not quite like our president, who thought that he could shoot somebody in the middle of the street and nobody say anything about it. But anyway, that was back a while ago. I probably shouldn't have mentioned it. Anyway, but they were givers. These churches were givers. And the Apostle Paul had a lot to say about that, and thank God for it. And the faithfulness that comes from giving, the sacrificial giving that comes for you to be able to continue to do what you do so that missionaries can go to the foreign field and continue on faithfully there throughout the years. And many other missionaries, if they were here tonight, would say the same thing and say, and thank you for it. Well, I want you to turn, if you would, please, to Acts chapter 12. And Acts 12, and picking up the narrative here as the Apostle Paul is recording, or is being recorded of him. Chapter 12, Acts chapter 12, and verse 5. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And you know the story. Peter's been put into prison for proclaiming the gospel. But prayer, the verse says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And then, just for brevity of time, with your permission, let me jump down to verse 12. Verse 11, I should say. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod for all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And verse 12, and when he had considered the thing, he thought about it. He considered the fact that he's been released from prison now. But he also considered the fact that he knew that brethren would be praying for him. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And then one of my favorite characters in the Bible is Peter knocked at the door of the gate. A damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. I think I know this girl. When she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Like I said, I think I know her. But, she just overcome with joy. And she went in and told them, and they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And they said, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand, to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And then let me just jump. This is it. This is the right verse. How the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. James, of course, was a pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And apparently that church was broken into smaller groups having prayer meetings around the city for him, and for specifically for Peter being in jail. But as he showed himself to them, he said, please go tell James and the others. So we can infer from that there were prayer meetings going on all over the region. In Ephesians chapter 6, if we would turn there very briefly, please. Ephesians chapter 6, and looking at verse 18, passage that you may have memorized, and you certainly know it very well, chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What is he asking for prayer? He's asking for boldness. Asking not for his personal needs to be met or anything like that. He's asking for boldness as he preaches. Amen. And verse 19, and for me the utterance may be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly. But, listen to this, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Well, that was the church in Ephesus. He instructs the church. He doesn't chide the church, but he instructs and he exhorts them to pray for him and pray that kind of intercessory prayer. And of course, we're all familiar with those verses. But we were talking about the fact that these churches not only were givers, but they were intercessors. They were some who realized that the work of God depended upon faithful intercession. Second Thessalonians, if you don't mind, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I don't turn too many pages here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Here Paul urges the Thessalonian church to pray that the word of God to have free course. Listen to this. Finally, brethren, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, nothing hindering the word of God going forward. Oh, I wish I could tell you tonight. I wish I could recount for you tonight the opportunities that the Lord has given this missionary over the years, enough so that I don't really want to do ministry without what I'm going to describe to you in just a moment. But let me finish reading this verse. That the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even it is with you, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Well, he was exhorting this church, the Thessalonian church, to pray for him, pray that the word of the Lord would have free course and be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. It's possible someone here was in that meeting. I'm not sure exactly, but many years ago, in fact, 1998, we had, it was not 1998, I'm sorry, it was like 2014, we had a group of people with us in Thailand, and it was this group was leaving the next day. In fact, the group was from my church, and there were some others that came in and joined it, and Brother Hammett, you and some other men here know what a shop house is. Bottom floor is open. People usually live on the top floors. We were crammed in that night into a shop house, and it wasn't a big shop house. It was a pretty good, pretty small one. But we had about 65 people there that night, and we had not been in Thailand but for a matter of a few months ourselves. But just before this group got there, we heard about refugees that had come from Laos and were in Thailand, and they were trying to form a refugee community, and the Thai government shut it down. You know the latter part of that story. I'm going to tell you the first part of it now. But the only thing we knew about these folks were read in the newspaper in the Nation, which is an English language newspaper. And we read about them. There were some pictures of them sitting by the side of the road, and ladies holding their babies under tarps, literally, that were set up there. The Thai government had pushed them all out on the road and said, "Go home, find your way home." Well, that you know the long end of that. They end up being in a government-controlled facility there. But we were burdened about them and didn't know exactly what to do, didn't even know exactly where they were. We just had the information in the paper. So did just a quick internet search where that place was and had a few pictures and put it together into a slide presentation. The last night that that group was going to be there, we had a prayer meeting that night and put some pictures of it up on the wall and told everything we knew about them. And also said that the minute that you folks leave, the next day or the day after, we're going to be headed up there trying to find these people and see what can be done with them. We had a prayer meeting that night. And oh, what a prayer meeting. I'll never forget it. People just poured their hearts out to God for these people. And the fact of the matter, two or three of those people that were in that room stayed over. They extended their tickets to stay over and make the trip up there with us. Oh, it was hot. It was over 100 degrees there. And then people were just drenched in sweat. We had four or five fans running. But we prayed. And what a prayer meeting we had. But may I tell you that 2 days later, or the next day, I'm not sure exactly, when we drove up there and we finally found where the refugees were, I'll never forget, we sent a text message back home and said we found them. But as we were there, within an hour, it was very evident to us that God had already gone before and plowed the ground. Because we weren't there but just a matter of, like I said, an hour or so. Brother Lang, myself, some folks from Laos that we knew, and others who spoke the language. And the Lord opened the door with those people, those dear people. And it was such a... I cannot describe to you what it's like knowing that when you walk in, and it's like we're used to beating against barriers to try to knock the doors down, and it's like the doors were wide open. Amen. Not only that, people's hearts were tendered. Even the hearts of the local Thai people, which was not normal in a situation like that. And when we got back from that meeting, we were able to declare to our churches, and our group hadn't even made it back home yet. We said, we not only have found them, but God is at work. And it seemed like all the work was already done before we got there. And that's happened to this missionary. I've had that experience three or four times in my missionary work. And I want to tell you, I don't want to do missions any other way. You say, Brother Tom, what made the difference? Prayer. Prayer of people who were praying, and they knew what they were praying for. And it was, oh, it made the difference, friend. Amen. What a difference it makes. But the intercession, and as Paul says, pray that there's no hindrance with Thessalonians, that it would have free course, and the Word of God would have free course, and would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. And then 2 Corinthians, if you would, please. I think that there's something we need to see here as Paul is just making his way through these different epistles, and he's talking to these different churches. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom ye trust, that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, look at verse 11, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Listen, the Corinthian church had a lot of problems. Apostle Paul took two letters to write to them, plus all the personal visits that he made and the interaction that he had. But he said, at least they knew this. At least the Corinthians had this right. They knew that they could help the work of the apostle by praying for him. And he brought that out here. He's a lot, again, a lot he could have written, a lot he did write in instructing them. But he said, ye also helping together by prayer for us. that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He said, you help us. You help us. The Corinthian church helped Paul and company by prayer that many would be encouraged. And then I'd like for you to also consider with me about these early churches, these churches that participated with Paul in ministry, that they were sensitive. These churches were sensitive. The sensitivity was to the Lord. It caused them to be willing to adjust what they thought and practiced once they were sure God was in it and it lined up with the Bible. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Now, I don't have time. I wish that we had the time to go through chapter 10 and then into chapter 11 so you could find, learn about it. But there was a man in Caesarea called Cornelius who God revealed and showed him a vision in the middle of the day at noontime up on top of his house. And the great sheet was knit at four corners. It was let down in front of him. And you know all those, he asked for Peter. And Peter was in that situation where he had a vision of the great sheet knit at the four corners. And again, probably should have just read the thing to you. But in chapter 11, now Peter has gone back to the church that he left to make this trip there in Jerusalem. And he's trying to recount to them what happened in Caesarea. Because it was, well, I'll tell you about it. It was not normal what had happened. What had just happened in chapter 10 was not normal. Peter got to end up going to Caesarea, preaching to Cornelius, and not only Cornelius, but many of his brethren and friends had gathered together, and many of them got saved and turned to the Lord. But the church in Jerusalem is here now, is going to be exposed to the fact that Gentiles in Caesarea had received the word of God the same as they had. And so in Acts chapter 11, verse 1, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, you got to understand, that was not normal. In fact, a matter up to this time, Gentiles had not received the word of God, primarily because the apostles and others had gone out preaching only to Jews. Okay? But through that vision that Peter had of the great sheet and all of the being let down with all those creeping things and unclean beasts and everything else, three times he had that vision before him. And every time the Lord said, take and eat. And he said, oh, not so, Lord, not so, Lord. You know, except that one problem. I've never eaten anything unclean before. And so immediately following that is when he heard about, had a knock at the door and heard about Cornelius calling for him. And Peter put two and two together that God was trying to deal with him. But in chapter 11 again, and Peter was come up to in verse 2, and when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, I was in the city of Joppa praying, was in a trance, saw a vision, and a certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and came even unto me. I would like for you to please, if you don't mind, let's just jump to the same chapter, verse 15 in this chapter. He recounts the whole thing to the church in Jerusalem. They're fascinated because they had never heard of Gentiles receiving the gospel. And by the way, Peter had never heard of that either. That's why God had to give him that vision. You see, the vision was all about that vision of the great sheet let down, knit at four corners, full of creeping things and all those sort of things. That was all about changing the heart and the mind of the man of God. It was all about preparing Peter to be able to preach to Gentiles. Boy, I sure am glad he did. I are a Gentile, amen. And I'm sure he's glad he did that. But Look at, if you would please, in chapter, in same chapter, verse 15. So now, again, he's at the church in Jerusalem. He's finishing it up now. And verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. He's saying there was no difference. He fell on the Gentiles the same way he fell on us. The Holy Ghost coming down and empowering them. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, it's the church in Jerusalem now, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. What a difference. I mean, at one point, this church could not have even envisioned Gentiles getting saved. Certainly Peter couldn't have envisioned it. He witnessed it, and some of the men that went with him witnessed that. They came back and they told the church about it. And the church said, we can't argue about that. Can't argue with it. It doesn't fit our doctrine. It doesn't fit our theology. But if God's doing that, how can we possibly stand against it? And see, this church was sensitive to the Lord, because the church in Jerusalem, as they were exposed to the fact that Gentiles got saved, they had to learn, they had to change. The verse said in verse 18, read it again. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance and life. Changes everything. Even though until now the gospel was only preached to the Jews, they recognized God's hand in it, and it changed their way of thinking about Gentiles. From that point on, it changed their way of thinking about them. There was a matter of the Judaizers in Antioch. Acts chapter 15, just a few pages over from where we are. Acts chapter 15, and beginning in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. These are the Judaizers that seemed to follow the apostles around, seemed to follow the preachers around as they went from place to place. And they would no sooner leave a place, and here would come the Judaizers saying, everything they said is okay, but you got to become a Jew first, and then you can be a Christian and follow Christ. Let me read down through here, verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And so, verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. That verse in verse 3 says they were brought on their way by the church. You know what that means? That means that the church selected them to go to Jerusalem and put forth this matter of the Judaizers to the Jerusalem church, who still had some of the apostles in it. And they not only deputized them to go, but they paid their way. They sent them on the way. They brought them on their way by the church. And so that was the matter. But as they even went to Antioch, there were those who would be jumping on the newborn Gentile believers to confuse them. They were quite forceful in declaring it. And as you see, many times they've run into this, that the Judaizers would be there to confuse and to put a burden upon the new Christians. But they determined to ask the apostles and elders in the church in Jerusalem about it. And so they selected these men and sent them on the way. But by the way, verse 4, when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church. Don't miss that, please, as we read the rest of this. They were received of the church. This meeting that's going to be held was held held under the auspices of the church in Jerusalem. They were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying, it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Here is those same guys right there in the church in Jerusalem. In fact of the matter, not only did the gospel go forth from the church in Jerusalem, but so did the heretics. They went forth also. But they were following them and interfering in the work over in among the Antioch church. And verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, and that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word, hear the gospel and believe. So what I want to get to here is in this meeting, the Judaizers had their say. The missionaries told their story and what had happened to them and how that God had worked in their life. And now Peter stands up and Peter talks and says, you know, God put his hand upon me that that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, in verse 8, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, given unto them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. We really don't have time to read all this. So let me, with your permission, let me jump down to verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Now, James is the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Okay? James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets. So he not only invokes the what the missionaries said happened to him, he invokes now the Apostle Paul, Peter, who was the one who went to the Gentiles first. Now he refers back to the prophets. He opens the Word of God and refers to the prophets. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof and will set it up. And that the residue of men might seek after the Lord. So he's reading a passage of scripture out of the prophets. And verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore, this is James speaking in a church meeting, a church-sanctioned meeting. They've heard from the Judaizers, they've heard from the missionaries, they've heard from Peter. Now the pastor stands up, he says this lines up also with what the prophet said. And verse 19 says, wherefore, please don't miss this, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. James said, it's my opinion that what we ought to, no, he didn't. He said, it's my sentence. My sentence is, let me conclude this matter by saying, my sentence is that we trouble them not. And they went ahead and wrote letters and sent them over to them. Let's see, verse 20, that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, from the strangled, and from blood, and all those things. He writes those letters, and they're going to send them back to Antioch and other places along with the Paul and Barnabas as they go back. But he didn't stand up and said, it's my opinion, or I've thought about this. He just said, my sentence is, this is what we're doing. And by the way, when he did that, verse 22, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barnabas. My point in all this is to say, when he made the proclamation, this is the way it needs to be. With these Judaizers, they need to be cut off. With the brethren, the Gentile brethren who are saved, they need to be encouraged. When he did that, the whole church said, amen. 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 And I tell you, I want to proclaim to you tonight and say, I sure am glad they took that stance. Yeah. The gospel went around the world, amen, after that meeting. But here's this church who was sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His voice. And they examined this matter. They examined it through the scriptures and examined it in all these different ways and said, that's the way it is. The church adjusted what they thought, and they adjusted from that point on their practice in what they did as they sent out missionaries, sent out preachers to go. So, but they were that way because they were sensitive to the Lord. Well, they were also senders, and I'm going to stop here. But the sending began with the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church sent Barnabas to check out the story about the Gentiles, and reading about that in verse 22 of chapter 11. We're not going to do that. But chapter 13 is the record of the church in Antioch that was established, sending Barnabas and Paul on their first missionary journey. And they went from place to place preaching, and they ministered to the Lord. I'm not sure if any of us even really knows what that means, ministering to the Lord and fasting. But that's what the church in Antioch was doing when they selected Barnabas and Paul and sent them out. The churches in those days, they were givers. Amen. And they also were intercessors. And they were also sensitive to the Lord. And, you know, imagine if there was a prayer meeting, if there was any kind of a testimony meeting ever called, and the question was, would you give testimony of this whole thing, going out and going to different places, the evangelistic meetings and everything else? I imagine Paul and some of the others would say, thank God for the brethren in Jerusalem who figured this out and were sensitive to the Lord. I thank God for churches like Lehigh Valley Baptist Church. You folks are sensitive enough to the Lord to find and pinpoint men who need to be in ministry. And you're sensitive enough to be able to send them out. Our church in Fort Worth, I'm so grateful to them for the fact of them being sensitive to the Lord. And even in some areas where Brother Bruce and myself and some of the other missionaries have come back to the church and said, look, I didn't ask to be in this situation. God put me here. What do you think we ought to do? And they thought about it, prayed about it, fasted and prayed. Before I even joined Metropolitan Baptist Church, I was talking to the pastor. We were considering moving our membership there. And of course, if we moved our membership, we moved our ministry, because we'd already been in the ministry 20 plus years when we, 25 years by the time we joined Metropolitan. But before Pastor said, look, I'm all for you, but I think that we need to do something first. Just give me 2 weeks. I didn't know what was going on. He went to the church the very next service, and they asked him to pray. He told them what the story was. The Godet family considering moving here, and I think we ought to pray. He asked the church to fast and pray till the next service, which at that point was, I think, Wednesday night. It was going to be the following Sunday. The church voted on having us. By the way, between somewhere in the middle of all that, he picked up the phone, called Bruce in Honduras. Bruce was the only missionary at the time, and he said, what do you think? Considered it. Careful consideration and sensitivity Amen. To the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our church now has 6 missionaries on that are sponsored, sent out of there. And I know you folks have missionaries leaking out of the woodwork. You've got so many of them here. You got houses and cars that you provide for them when they come in, because you're sensitive to what the Lord wants. Amen. Amen. There's a lot more could be said about them, but the early churches that participated with the Apostle Paul in this thing that we refer to now as missions. Amen. The very first Gentile church that was ever established that we have record of, the church in Antioch. That church, in a prayer meeting one day, started and by sending out Paul and Barnabas. And they were the very first church to send out missionaries.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
Certainly the very first Gentile church to send them out.
Amen.
Thank God for the example that they set. Thank God for the example that Lehigh Valley Baptist Church sets tonight. Don't quit. Don't change. Continue doing what you're doing. God is pleased by it. Souls are being reached. And these missionaries are certainly glad that you are sensitive and you're givers and you're all the rest of the things we talked about tonight. Pastor, you come.
Amen.
And I'm going to leave the invitation with you. I primarily was interested in encouraging you tonight. Please don't quit. Don't give up. Don't back down for anything.
Thank you, brother.
Pleasure.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.